I don't like reading after modern day men, Kennedy and Stanley and all those guys. I don't like them. I don't like how they treat the Word of God. I don't like the way they treat themselves when they stand up and say they are men of God and they preach what they preach. I like Spurgeon. I like Torrey and Tozer. I like Mueller. I like those men because they have some landmarks of the faith. All these things we see on these walls, these are landmarks. These are things that keep us from going into our neighbor's field and taking those things out that we're not supposed to have. Those aren't our inheritance. Our inheritance is not with Catholics. Our inheritance is not with those Lutherans. They're not with Calvinists. Our inheritance are not there. God has given us an inheritance that we can possess. Salvation is the top one. Salvation and service and soul winning. Those are our landmarks. Those are our paths that we have to trod through this time that God has us here as a pilgrim. I was just reading in Proverbs, it says that as I pilgrim in my pilgrimage, I'm a pilgrim, and in my tent, the only place I can have a house is in a tent if I'm a pilgrim, because I can't be settled. I can't have a house in one place and be a pilgrim. Pilgrims move about. Pilgrims go from place to place, and there I dwell with my God and in my pilgrimage, in my tent, not in my house. This world is not my home, and I am glad of that, because this world is desperately wicked. And I was going through all the landmarks and the paths, and preacher preaches it, soul winning, souls. You got to have souls. Without souls, this world would just be nothing. This church without souls would be nothing. And pastors are just giving me stronger faith in that to see consistently preaching on it, consistently handing out tracts, consistently talking, consistently. There are guys out there that get weary and aren't consistent. We have to be consistent as a man of God is consistent in everything he does. Souls. Service. Pastor's here. Pastor Hammond's continually serving here. You're going to find Pastor Hammond's here. Faithful. If he can serve God as he serves God in the capacity he does in this church, why can't we serve him as missionaries in the same capacity? He has a burden on his shoulders from this church. A lot of things pastor's given to him, and he's taken, and he's gone with them. Because somebody else showed him the way before to be a faithful servant in the house of God. And you know what? We don't find men like that now. Now, when I came out of Bible college, guys wanted a church already established. They wanted a church that would pay them a pension. They wanted a church that would give them insurance. They wanted a church that would give them things. And they didn't want to give the church anything. God called me in 95 to preach. And I've been in the military since. I got out in 98 and went to Norris. Norris is a good school. But when you teach soul winning class, go out and do it. Don't say, go back to your church and you're under your pastor and you go on your regular visitation. Some of those churches don't have a regular visitation. And the pastor doesn't always go out. If a school is going to teach soul winning, it better take them out in that class and not just give them the theory. It better give them the practical lab to go out and knock on doors. Brother Williams, we were down the other day at the courthouse, and I told him, my hardest problem is this. Talking to them one-on-one. That's my hardest problem. I can get up here. I can stand before soldiers, and I can teach them everything about a tank. I can do that. Because they're soldiers, and that's all I've ever dealt with. I can teach them that way, but when you want me to get down on this, down there with one man, one-on-one, and open the Word of God and tell him about Christ and his sufferings, I have a hard time with that. Don't we all? But you know what? When the two-by-two went out, one man was praying, another man was witnessing. We went out two-by-two. And as I sat there with Daquita and talked to her, brother was handing out tracts to all the officers coming out. And then when I was feeble and couldn't talk, the brother stepped in. And the brother let me go again and talk some more. And then he stepped in. That's the encouragement we need. We need those old paths and those old landmarks. Men that are faithful and deliver them to us. Those are the things that we need as young preachers. Those are the things that we need as men of God. We need steadfast and sure and true, faithful and loyal. I've read this book on Spurgeon, 60 Sermons on Christ in the Old Testament. And I have now learned that behind every jot and every tittle in the Word of God is Christ. Amen. Everywhere, every jot and tittle bleeds Christ. Everywhere. In the Old Testament as well as the New. Yes, and he's and I got that on Father's Day, and I've 25 sermons already gone out of 60. I've read them all. The wonderful Aaron, the high priest, is Christ interceding when the plague came, and he stands there with the incense and the prayers and stands there and stays the plague. That's what we're called to do, is to stay the plague and keep it off men so they don't perish and die in their sins. We're to be Moses to make that brazen serpent and put it on a rod and a staff and to run it through that serpent, and that staff went straight through his head and it crushed it, as Christ crushed the heel of Satan the day that he died on the cross. That's what my Savior did for me. And so when he said, I'll be high and lifted up, as a serpent was lifted up in the desert, and all men, when they were bitten and they looked, no matter how far it was, you can see the gleam and you can see the light of that brazen serpent. And they looked and they lived. Amen. Because he had a look to something. When you look towards the world, all you get is death and destruction. But when you look to Christ, you get life eternal. That's what men have preached. That's what Norris preached. He had a seminary, a radio ministry, two of the largest churches in the United States. And then when he went off the scene, everything started going awry. Because men didn't want to stay faithful to what they were taught. They wanted to go off some unbeaten path, something that was overgrown with shrubs and stuff, and pick berries they didn't know what they were for, and ate them and got poisoned by those berries. And then they started telling me, eat it, it's good, it tastes good. Let's bring them in. Because it appealed to their flesh, and that's poison. And you're right, brother. Easy believism it's a farce. It's garbage. You know what? I was in a church, and they had the 30-second soul winning program. 30 seconds. Show somebody how to get saved in 30 seconds. I witnessed to a guy for an entire year, White Sands, New Mexico, last year when I got stationed up there, and it took a year for this man to come to Christ. A year. Of not just talking about Christ and salvation, but having to live my life like that. And he says, I want to have what you have. I don't want to live this lifestyle anymore. A drunkard, a womanizer, all that. But it took a year of witness, of speaking it and living it. And that's where a lot of people fall short, is that they don't live the lifestyle. And you know what? I can't live the life that Christ wants me to live without Him dwelling in me. Amen. Last night, preaching to me that sermon was great and wonderful for me. Because it gave me something new. It was for me. Faithful men. Faithful men. Those who have clung to those landmarks, those old paths, those ancient ways. Those are what we desire and we need in our churches. That's what church planters need when they go out and start new churches, is those old ancient landmarks and paths. Because if they don't, they're going to start up. And then when the people get restless, they're going to start taking things from the world and bringing them in. And then the sheep get really dumb. And then the sheep start dressing like the world. And the sheep start wearing piercings in their body and getting tattoos. And the sheep go off and start committing fornication, not with sheep, but with mountain goats. They don't stay true. They're not equally yoked. They'll open up other perversions. See, when I was saved in a Southern Baptist church, I was saved for the King James Bible, but it didn't matter what Bible you used. I had the book, the NIV, the American Standard Revised Version. One of those with the Apocrypha in it. And out of all those, I read them, and they contradicted each other. They were garbage. There was no spiritual growth in my life until 4 years later when I got the King James Bible. Amen. That's when God started working. This is a landmark. This is a path. This is something that will guide us and take us and direct us in the way of all righteousness. Amen. Why? Because it's written by a holy God. It tells me about a holy Savior. It tells me about some holy blood that was shed on a cross on a hill called Calvary for my sins. That's that right here. And they can say what they want. This book will always be in my home. And this book will be the only book that I ever preach. Because with it, I was saved. And with it, I have seen my son saved and my daughter saved and my wife saved and my other son saved. I have seen the works that have been wrought by the Word of God out of this Bible. And I have not seen that out of any other Bible that they produce out there and print up and give to men. I haven't seen it. I haven't heard of anybody who preaches from a new book say that they had 13 youth saved in camp. I haven't heard anybody say, well, they've had 12 youth surrender to the mission field or full-time Christian ministry with any other book or any other Word of God. Because there's no life in it. There's no spirit in it. There's no blood in it. Amen. This is our landmark, and this is what we must preach, and this is what we must tell people. Amen.